Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Where to start? Panthers tied up 1-1 last night. I was in the building at the watch party last night down in Sunrise, Florida. Electric atmosphere. You got the Knicks firing Tom Thibodeau. Sources say they are interested in speaking with Dallas Maverick head coach Jason Kidd. Damian Perez doubted the Indiana Pacers. God knows why at this point, because the Pacers have the template on how they're going to win a series, and they did exactly that. Step one completed in the Pacers' master plan to win the NBA Finals. And we have craziness in college athletics. The NCAA will pay nearly $2.8 billion back in damages, according to ESPN.com, over the next 10 years to athletes who competed in college at any time from 2016 to present day. Not to mention that, too, there's going to be an annual cap that is expected to start at roughly $20.5 million per school in 2025 and 2026, an increase every year during the decade-long deal. So a deal finally has been made with the NCAA and the players. And it's looking like there's going to be a salary cap now. So plenty of things to talk about on Saturday Tailgate this morning. Dame, I wanted to start in Sunrise last night. Myself, Colin Russo, you can hear us 4 to 6, Monday through Friday, Russo and Rizzo. We were live at the Amerant Bank Arena. We did a little pregame leading up to the Panther and Oiler game. And then Christina Costanzo, you could hear on the happy hour on Theoretically Speaking from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. And our content director, Brian Rose, we were all on site. Brian brought the kids. It was a fun time. And I'm not surprised that's how the game ended last night. I think that this is going to be an instant classic kind of Stanley Cup. When you saw these teams kind of get back in the rink and do the whole rematch a couple of days ago in game one, you saw it go to overtime. I knew that there were going to be fireworks. Now, Colin and I got burned. We took the under. And nine goals were scored in the game. So
how did you guys take the under after that watching was a Colin Russo the bet. First game?
That was a Colin Russo bet. Oh, I wanted to take the Panthers. Colin thinks Edmonton's winning the series in six.
That's like when you guys took the under for the Yankees game the other day.
Colin thinks the Panthers are, or excuse me, the Oilers are winning in six. I said Panthers in seven, and I stand by that. I think this is going to be a seven-game series. I think the Oilers are a great team. I think the Panthers are a great team. And we have the Marchand goal that was scored late in the game. Marchand had a brace. Marchand had a brace in the game. Obviously, he was the new acquisition on over from Boston. Veteran player Damian looked back, won a Stanley Cup in what year with the
2011, Bruins? And Stens has been to two in 2013 and 2016, I believe.
Let's hear savvy vet Marchand getting in a second time to give him the golden goal in overtime.
Ahead for Marchand, moving in on Skinner. Marchand is, it's in, he scores! Marchand wins game two for the Panthers in double overtime!
Brad Marchand anticipates this puck. It takes a fortunate bounce. This is exactly the same as his shorthanded goal.
So Marchand able to lift them to victory, and what a it was such a topsy-turvy, back-and-forth kind of game. Dame, at the watch party, by the way, a ton of people at that watch party. I think they sold it out.
Yeah, it's crazy
they sold out the watch party.
The Florida Panthers have just become like this like sweetheart here in South Florida. And I mean, credits to them because they won, this would be their third, if they do pull it off, their third in, I believe, in the last 5 years.
It'd be their second win, but they've been there three straight times.
Correct.
So they lost all the way, they lost the first time to, I believe, Vegas. And then they won last year, and now this year against the Oilers. Remember, they were up 3-0, and then the Oilers came storming back, won 3 in a row, and took it to a game 7 here in Sunrise. And then now, last night, when the Oilers tied it up, Dame, it was with 20 seconds left, the Oilers tied it up at 4.
40-year-old Scott Perry.
Which was crazy. I got to be honest. Colin and I, we got in the car. We got in the car because, my God.
Ready to go.
Dang, we got there. We left West Palm at 1:30 in the afternoon. We got in the car at 11:30.
That's pretty much a 12-hour shift.
And then that goal was scored. We're like, God, man, are you kidding me?
All they had to do was hold, 20 seconds? Yep. And you guys were on your way back with a 1-1 lead.
Right.
Bringing it back here to Sunrise, Florida. But that's hockey, man. That's hockey. You can never turn your back on hockey. Once they pull the goalkeeper, anything can happen.
So we were listening on the radio, and, you know, and Colin, the guy that he is, completely locked in. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun. And I certainly won't forget that game for a long time, man. Hockey right now is a good thing going on because the Nations League was a tremendous success. The Stanley Cup playoffs, I think, have been absolutely electric. And I think this is going to be one of the better Stanley Cup finals in a long time. You know, last year you got an, as we already mentioned, you got an instant classic with our Panthers and the Oilers, and, you know, the rematch this year and the drama that has already happened in the series. Now, one thing I am worried about with the Panthers is Connor McDavid is unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
Dude, did you see that assist he had last night?
Unbelievable.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm like X's and O hockey guy like I am with football, basketball, and baseball. But, brother, that assist.
It's like he teleported the puck in between two players. Dude, it was unbelievable.
The finesse that guy has on skates, he's just so much faster than everybody, too. Like, his speed on skates is like the equivalence to someone who's like 20 yards faster than another person on a football field.
That's the thing, because in hockey, sometimes it's hard to differentiate the athleticism. But with McDavid, I mean, he stands out, like you were saying.
Like Dame, you know what I'm saying with, like, a football field with some of that breakaway speed that's just able to pull away from the defender by like 20 yards and score a touchdown.
Like a Metcalf, for example.
That's exactly what Connor McDavid is, but he is on ice skates. And obviously a hockey rink is not nearly as big as a football field. But once he's able to get a little wiggle room.
It's the burst.
And his finesse with the stick. I mean, when I was born in 94, I didn't get to see much of Wayne Gretzky. So, like, this is the hockey player. Like, compare him to the greats of Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin. This would be that moment for him. This would be that immortality moment for him where he was in a Stanley Cup final last year, and he comes back the same year, beats the same team that they lost to last year after being down 3-0 and bringing it back to a game 7. So, all the storylines are there in this one. But I think the Panthers have the better roster. I know Draisaitl is a very good player for the Oilers. McDavid's a very good player as well. But all three lines for the Panthers are very impressive. And Reinhardt had a bad game, too, for the Panthers. He had a breakaway. And I wasn't necessarily impressed with his one-on-one shot with the keeper. But even with all of that considered, 5-4, the Panthers take the lead in the game in double overtime. God, that was late. You know, I sit here and say all these, I complain about the baseball on the West Coast. I complain about sometimes the NBA Finals or NBA playoffs starting too late. My God, double overtime. Bro, and you want to know what's crazy about hockey too? Because I don't want to say I forgot, but like, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's golden goal.
Yeah. You know,
we're huge football guys, Dame. Correct. And I love golden goal in FIFA, the game. You know, EAFC, but like, you can't do golden goal in football, in soccer.
Imagine the
you
nerves. Cannot,
but at the same time, like, you can't run those guys on the pitch for that long. Like, Dame, you know how these soccer games are. Sometimes they're just not going to score.
It's too long. And
they're not going to score.
In hockey, you have a lot of rotations where players are coming in and out. They're getting their breathers. In soccer, there's none of that. You know, they're running for 60 minutes straight, for example.
Totally. So that's why you got to have like penalty kicks. But like, I kind of related it over to that because, like, dude, golden goal is lit.
Yeah. It just adds that. Makes it so intense because, you know, one mistake can cost you the game.
Yep.
Something you've worked so hard for in one night and just off of one mistake, game's over just like that in a blink of an eye. I mean, it's must-see television, but imagine being in the rink or on the field, the stress, the anxiety that you must feel in those moments, it's unbelievable.
888-760-3776. Panther fans out there, how are you feeling this morning? Brad Marchand, two goals in the game. He had a shorty on his first one, and then obviously the brace coming in double overtime. If you got to take on the Panthers, want to talk a little Panthers hockey, 888-760-3776 is that number to call on in. Now, Dame, we touched on, this was you and I passing in the hallway, granted, earlier this week, but we talked about the NBA Finals. And I told you I liked Indiana in that game one. Now, I don't know if it's because of my fandom getting in the way with my team being a casualty in the Indiana Pacers' run to what is arguably would be one of the more craziest and impressive NBA Finals wins in NBA history if they're able to pull this series out. But Pacers down as much as 10 points in game one. They are now the teams, Damian, that are down by 10 plus with three minutes left in the NBA Finals. All right, so down 10, under 3 minutes to go in the NBA Finals in the fourth quarter. 0 and 181. 0 and 181. Now it's 1 and 182. That's who the Pacers are at this point. That's who Indiana is. It's what they do. It's what they do. This is the template. Like I got grilled yesterday because I said Pacers are probably going to win this in 5 or 6 games. This is what they've been doing. The template is there for us. Yeah. I don't know. Listen, maybe Oklahoma City is a different beast. Maybe they are a different team. The Cavaliers won 60 games. They lost in 5. I know Oklahoma City has won 68 games. But they're about to get into the way of an unstoppable force. They're about to get into the way of a team that has been able to overcome whatever deficit it may be in these close games in the NBA playoffs in 2025. And I think it'd be foolish to go against the Pacers. I've done it every step of the way. I didn't believe them against the Bucks. I didn't believe in them against the Cavs. I certainly didn't believe in them against the Knicks. Not this time. Damian, I will not be fooled.
Yeah, and I feel like the Pacers embrace this role. You know, Haliburton coming in, he was voted the most overrated player in the league, which is absolutely insane how the trajectory of these players' playoffs have gone. But it's like they embrace that role where nobody expects the Pacers to win. Nobody expected the Pacers to be here, but it kind of fueled them throughout this whole run. And credits to you because personally, I didn't think the Pacers had much chance game one. I didn't think the series was going to go. I didn't think it would be a sweep, but I didn't think the Pacers could take game one. That changes the whole perspective of everyone when we're looking at the series because the Pacers, I believe they usually take game two. They're ahead of schedule. They still got to play that game two, which the Pacers are very good at in game twos. And they always say the cliche, the series doesn't start till a away team wins a home game, and the Pacers did it in game one. So, very interesting series moving forward, and it's not crazy to think that the Pacers could pull it off in 5 or 6.
Now, I hope that this draws steam for the finals because the ratings are out, Dame. And game one of the 2025 NBA Finals averaged nearly a 4.7 rating and an 8.91 million views across on NBC. So 8.9, Dame, that's not good for the NBA Finals. Making it the least watched game one of the Nielsen meter era since 1988, outside of the COVID-19 2020, you know, when all that was happening.
So the Miami Heat were in the finals?
I believe so. Heat and Lakers.
Yep.
Heat and Lakers when Bron was able to pull that one out. But 1988, wow. I hope this builds some steam. I hope this builds some drama that people would want to tune into. I watched the whole game. And if I'm being honest, it was a bad game for 3.5 quarters. It was a game that seemed like it was going to be out of reach by the third quarter. It seemed like that Oklahoma City put the nail in the coffin going into the fourth quarter. But we've seen with this Indiana team, they are never dead. That Indiana team, they could be down 12 points with 5 minutes to go. And in this case, they could be down 10 points with 3 minutes to go. It doesn't matter. They're going to find a way.
Yeah, and they were down 15 early in the fourth quarter as well.
And Damian, defensively, like how they're able to put on the clamps and force turnovers and force bad shots. The only part of my leg in the parlay that didn't hit was Haliburton over 17.5 points.
Which is crazy.
SGA, was over 33 and a half. That hit. He had 38. Yeah. Obviously, plus 9.5 Indiana hit. They won. I should have bet the money line there. And then, yeah, that did not hit for me and because of Halliburton.
It goes to show how this Indiana Pacers team is built, because when your quote-unquote best player doesn't even drop 17 points and you still win the game, I mean, we're looking at two teams. The narrative with Oklahoma City was not only that they have the MVP, but that they are very deep. They can throw bodies at you. Defensively, they'll suffocate you. But when we look at the Pacers, it's very similar. They're a very similar mold. Maybe they don't have a player like Shai. But if Halliburton doesn't have to drop 30 points for them to win a game, you can say that's an advantage for the Pacers in the series.
Yeah, and Shai was unbelievable in the game. 40 minutes. Guy was on the bench for 8 minutes. Shot damn near 50% from the field, 14 to 30. 3 of 6 from 3. 7 of 8 from the free throw line. Had 38 points, 3 steals, 3 assists, and 5 boards. He was instant offense for the Thunder in the game. Jalen Williams, I felt, went cold in the second half. Lou Dort, actually pretty good defensively.
Unbelievable game.
Played good defensively, too. I know that he was the victim of the Halliburton pull-up at the end of the game, but this is something we've been seeing all playoffs, and Halliburton hitting big shots and able to do big moments. How about Nemhart? Like Dame, to your point, spread across, man. Halliburton, 14. Nemhart, 14. Miles Turner, 15. Every single player in the starting five had double digits. And then Obi Toppin came off the bench, 17 points, 5 of 8. Obi Toppin, 5 three-pointers in the game. That's where...
He brought him back in the game, really.
Instant offense. And listen, I know Alex Caruso, pretty good off the bench for the Thunder. That was a great get by them, almost two and a half years ago at the free agency mark. But for Obi Toppin to come off the bench and give him 5 threes, too... That's a little under the radar. They shot well from 3-2, Indiana, and the Thunder didn't. The Thunder shot 36% from 3, and Indiana shot 46%. You know, Indiana damn near shot 50% on the game. But telling on the game is the turnover margin. The Pacers turned it over 24 times, and still won the ball game. Oklahoma City, 6 times. They had 6 turnovers, Damian Press.
Unbelievable.
They had 6 turnovers in the game. Comparatively to 24. And you won the game. They led for 0.3 seconds. Are you guys... Where are you at? All right, so where are we? I'm revisiting this with you. I did the same thing with Colin Russo on Russo Rizzo yesterday, 4 to 6, Monday through Friday, ESPN 106.3. I did the same thing with Colin yesterday. Colin's still buying Oklahoma City. I'm going to give you one last chance to jump on the Indiana train here in the NBA Finals. And granted, I want the record to be known. I didn't get on the Pacer trolley, the transit, until this started. So
I'll be honest.
Until the finals started.
I'm on the train for the Pacers. I think, like I said earlier, if Halliburton doesn't have to drop 30 points for the Pacers to win a game, I think that's a huge advantage. Shai dropped, 38. They lost the game. I mean, it really came down to two shots. It really came down to the shot that Shai missed, and then the shot that Halliburton scored. So when we look at it from that perspective, I mean, you want to give the advantage to Oklahoma City, but when we've seen what the Pacers have been doing, I mean, we've been saying it the entire show. This is what they do. They like to just kind of be alive. They're just hanging in there. And then when it gets close, the last 5-10 minutes is when they really put the pedal to the gas. And we've been seeing them do that time and time again. So it's not a coincidence. This is kind of what the Pacers do. So I mean, I love it. I'm hopping on the bandwagon. I really want to root for the underdog. And they showed that in the first game, they're definitely capable of making this a series. So I'll hop on the bandwagon with you.
I could say Indiana played one of their worst games of the playoffs, too. They played one of their worst games in the playoffs, 24 turnovers in the game. And they were still able to win. They shot the ball well. I'm not going to go through the shooting stats. We already did that. They almost shot 50% from the field. But Halliburton said after the game, we are playing with house money. We arguably played of our worst games of the postseason. And they still found a way to win. Now, if you're a Thunder fan, you got to be gutted. We've all been there. Let's say this. Knicks fans, Cavalier fans, and Buck fans have all been there. If you remember... The Milwaukee game where you couldn't believe that they lost was the Gary Trent game when Trent hit the ball out of bounds and Indiana was able to get it. There was like a 4% chance of them winning the game. They won that one. The Cleveland game, where it was a 7-point game with 40 seconds left. I had people calling me after the game, damn near in tears, grown-ass men in tears, calling me Riz. I've never seen anything. That might be one of the worst losses in Cleveland history. And then in the Knick game, I had Knick fans crying to me at our sister station in ESPN New York saying, Riz, if it doesn't happen this year for the Knicks, when it's going to happen? They are the dream killer. The Pacers are the dream killer. They are the inevitable. They are Thanos in this playoffs right now. It's a Marvel reference, by the way. They are the team that is going around. What's that? Have you ever seen that meme of the Grim Reaper going closet to closet with the team? That is who the Indiana Pacers are, man. And they do it in such a brutal fashion, winning two games on the road and then coming back to Indiana up 2-0. Dude, that spread with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet, which we'll get to in a second, our good friends at Hard Rock Bet, download the app today. That spread is 10, Pacers plus 10.5. Folks, I'm no professional gambler, okay? We have the great Fat Jack on Russo and Rizzo. You can go to fatjacksports.com. They're always making money. My guy over at Fat Jack. But, like, all the sharps were on Oklahoma City, and how can't you? Going into that game, the favorite was 10-1. Favorites in the last 11 NBA Finals, the favorites were 10-1 in game ones, and they covered, like, the last nine. So, like, yeah, the numbers say take that. This team defies the numbers, okay? All my Star Wars fans out there, the Han Solo reference, never tell me the odds. That the Pacers are Han Solo. Never tell them the odds. They don't care. They led for 0.3 seconds, folks. 0.3 seconds. This is like the fifth time we've went through it. We've went through the games already. The Knick game, the Cavalier game, the Buck game. This is the fourth time.
It's what they do.
This is the fourth time I am sitting here with my pants down going, what the hell just happened? This time, not my pants down, because I put my money where my mouth is, and I actually bet on Indiana for the first time. I actually bet on Indiana. Did my parlay miss? Yes. But I took that spread on the side.
And it's not just luck, because when Haliburton did it to the Knicks and he did the whole choke reference with in the Garden, they still went to overtime. Once that game went to overtime, I'm sure everybody was thinking to themselves, the Knicks are going to win this game. After what just happened, the Knicks are going to win this game. Indiana still pulled it off. So at this point, I mean, it's not luck. This team is actually built the way they're built. They embrace that role, and they love being the underdog. It's almost like it fuels them. They see that plus 10 odd on the sports book, and it just fuels, it adds fuel to the fire. So, I mean, watch out for the Pacers. I'm sure nobody expected them to be in the finals, and once they got there, nobody even expected it to be a series, but they keep on defying the odds.
The great Scott Van Pelt, after the game, who is on site, you know, with the NBA Finals, SVP is on remote during the finals. He does his show at the post game. He straight up looked at Haliburton and said, I can't lie to you, brother. All my notes here were about how Oklahoma City was, you know, one of the greatest teams ever. But regardless, all of his notes are on Oklahoma City. And I thought it was one of the coolest things ever, SVP being completely transparent with Tyrese Haliburton. And Haliburton appreciated it. And SVP did what I did. He said, we're done doubting you, brother. We're all done. We're all done doubting you. It took me, let's see, the playoffs started in April. What is it, Damian? June? God, yep, time.
Been 2 months.
This is a time fly. I've been doubting Indiana for 2 months. Not anymore, mate. Not anymore. And, you know, Pascal Siakam, Naismith, Nembhard, Benedict Mathurin. I mentioned Obi Toppin and his 5 threes. TJ McConnell. Thomas Bryant is giving Rick Carlisle minutes, for God's sakes. They're the deepest team in the NBA. They're the deepest team in the NBA. They are the team that nobody talked about as well. You wonder why the rating was so damn bad. I feel like outside of big basketball fans like myself and you, Damian, and Colin, and no one really cares. The numbers are 18%. Advanced numbers, I guess. Not advanced stats, but advanced numbers on the Nielsen rating that came out for the NBA Finals. By the way, if you're just joining us, the Finals did an 8.9 million view, making it the least watched game one on the Nielsen meter since 1988. Those numbers are an 18% ratings decline and a 19% viewership decline from last year's NBA Finals opener, in which the Celtics face off against the Mavericks. The decline would have been the worst had Tyrese Halliburton and the Pacers not watched a furious comeback in the final minutes to stun the Thunder. I'm hoping that this momentum that the Pacers have built for themselves has people tune in. This is going to be a great NBA Finals. I truly believe it. I truly believe that it's going to be a great Finals because no one expected the Pacers to win. Do I think the Pacers are going to win in 5 or 6? Probably. But the reason I think it's going to be a great Finals, Damian, is because it's a David versus Goliath kind of thing. Dude, the Thunder to win the series before game one with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet was like minus 200.
Yeah.
Astronomical odds. You imagine if the Pacers are like plus 475. Imagine taking that. Imagine taking plus 475 and them winning.
You would be very happy right
now.
Dude,
if you bet the Pacers throughout the entire playoffs, you'd be able to buy a boat. Damien, we'd go down to the yacht club in West Palm Beach, and they'd go, "Who's this kid? Oh, my name's Mike Rizzo. I made a fortune betting the Pacers. My buddy Damian Perez and I are here to buy your boat. I'm going to give you an offer you can't refuse.
We'll call it the Halliburton.
I'm going to give you an offer you can't refuse, and we're going to call it the Halliburton, and have just the picture of him doing the choke thing, and we're going to post on in the bay here in West Palm Beach. Game two. Coming up on Sunday, we'll continue to break down that series as we move along here on Saturday Tailgate. Mike Rizzo and Damian Perez. We are powered by our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Download that Hard Rock Bet app today. I mentioned already, folks, I'm already sprinkling action. I'm already sprinkling action on game two. +10.5. Are you kidding me? The Pacers +10.5. Listen. Is it a sucker bet? We've seen Oklahoma City blow out teams like Denver, but we've also seen Oklahoma City lay some stinkers as well. They lost by about 50 points to Denver one time. They just blew a 10-point lead in 3 minutes in the fourth quarter against the Indiana Pacers. I truly think that 10.5 is way too much points in an NBA final game, especially with a team like Indiana. Give me the Pacers on 10.5. Join me with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet, offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling, call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. That's 1-888-ADMIT-IT. Hit up the Battle of the Bets as well. Pick a side, folks. It's time to pick a side with the Battle of the Bets. All you got to do is put down your money, lay down your money on a big game. If you think it's going to go over, if you think it's going to go under, it's a fun promotion, a good way to get involved on the action with others around the state and the country. That is our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. When we return, we'll talk a lot more about those NBA finals. We're taking your calls at 888-760-3776. That is 888-760-3776. The NCAA also coming out with a court case, or rather figuring out a court case. They will pay nearly $2.8 billion in damages over the next 10 years to athletes who competed in college sports from 2016 to the present day. And moving it up to the present day, the annual cap is expected to start at roughly $20.5 million per school in 2025 and 2026, an increase every year during the decade-long deal. So a salary cap coming to college sports, and I think it's long overdue. I'm certainly a college sports fan of a big-time university. We'll talk more about that on Saturday Tailgate. Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez on ESPN 106.3.
Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Welcome back, folks. Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez live at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. Beautiful morning. God, it's the first thing I said to myself, D, when I woke up. It's been raining a little bit, huh? Rainy last weekend. It was rainy all week. But I'm looking forward to a good Saturday. And listen, I don't want to sound the alarms or anything, but Damian Perez and I, we're off this weekend. We don't have Inter Miami. What are you going to do, Dame?
I don't know.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. This is a very weird situation. There's like almost like a void. But honestly, relax. Anytime I can just have time to just hang out, be a couch potato, I'll sign up for
it. Dude, I'm the same way, but like I need to get out more. It's been, let's put it this way. It's been brought to my attention that I need to get out more here in West Palm Beach.
As in like socially?
Like socially and get out more in the community. I think at number one, it would be good for my image at ESPN 106.3 to be out more in the community and whatnot. Because, Dame, I think I've told you this before, but I'm 4 years sober. I used to be a night owl hooting and hollering, you know, with the owls and out till 2-3 in the morning partying, drinking the whole nine yards. But I've put that behind me.
The old Mike.
Yeah, it's the old Mike. And ever since then, I'm like you. I love being at home. I love watching games. I love being in Discord with the boys, playing some video games. My ideal date is you know, cooking a meal and watching, you know, something on the couch with a significant other. So, like, you know, I'm not much of a get-out person. So I thought I'd kind of open it up. 888-760-3776. If you guys got any ideas what I should do this weekend, are there any must-see things here in West Palm Beach that I need to do? 888-760-3776. I'm definitely going to go to the pool, Dame. I think I've told you I pay a king's ransom to live in my apartment complex, and I like taking advantage of it. I'm going to hit the gym at some point today, and then I'm probably going to roll on over to the pool after the gym, get some sun, get some rays. But I'm open to doing something tonight and getting out there. So 888-760-3776. D, I love Clematis. I think it's a great street. I think, you know, Duffy's, who's a partner here at ESPN 106.3, always a fun spot. Not necessarily the NBA Finals game tonight or an NHL game tonight, but always plenty of baseball for me to watch. You know I'm a baseball junkie. No, I love my baseball. I love the beach. Beaches are great. When my old man comes, when my dad comes, he likes staying at Singer Island. So I'm very familiar with Singer Island. I usually, if I do pick a beach around here, Dame, I'm usually hanging around Singer Island. I think that's a great spot.
Great.
I think Jupiter is also a fun time
Juno
as well.
Beach is amazing.
Juno Beach is awesome. I think Delray has some of the best sand on the Atlantic. You know, with the white sand down there in Delray. That reminds me a little bit of the Gulf. I grew up visiting the Gulf side. My mother, my grandfather, my Papa Chuck, a Navy man. He was originally from the Treasure Island kind of St. Pete, Tampa area. So, I listen, I'm always down to get out and about. So, if you guys have any ideas for me, 888-760-3776. Now, Dame, I mentioned the NCAA. There's going to be a cap. Do you like this? A cap of $20.5 million per school. Now,
it's definitely needed.
It's needed, but you're a Florida Gator fan. We got a lot of Miami Hurricane fans around here. We have a lot of Florida State fans around here. Dude, big-time schools can afford more than $20.5 million.
Right.
So, I think this is good for the kind of mid-tier D1 ACC school, Big Ten school, SEC school. But for the likes of Florida, Florida State, I don't know if Florida State necessarily is doing the money that Miami and Florida are. But certainly Miami. Miami's roster was considered north of $40 million. And even let's quickly go more to the SEC. Alabama's spending money. Georgia's spending money. The Big Ten, Michigan's spending money. The Buckeyes are spending money. I'm sure these teams liked the competitive advantage of being able to spend $40 million on a football roster.
Yeah, and objectively speaking, I mean, the way it was, it was literally the wild, wild west.
Wild west.
There was no structure. So just bringing a little bit of structure to it, I think it would help. Obviously, as a big school, you know, you kind of want to turn your eye to that. But objectively speaking, I think it's great for the sport.
Now, if you're just joining us, it's the House versus NCAA. This was a class action antitrust lawsuit that resulted in a landmark settlement that will allow college athletes to be paid for the first time in a new era of college sports. The settlement, which approved by a federal judge, involves a $2.8 billion payment to current and former athletes and allows colleges to share revenue with athletes from their athletic department budgets. And, you know, 20 and a half is the annual cap is expected to start at roughly 20.5 per school in 2025 and 2026, an increase every year during the decade-long deal. So, we've been saying there needs to be a salary cap for a long time. It needs to be regulated. And I like it. I like it a lot. What I don't like, though, and selfishly, as an Ohio State man, I don't like that it's, you know, we're not going to have that competitive advantage. Is it? But was it a fair advantage? I say no.
It wasn't.
It wasn't a fair advantage. And I'm willing to come out and admit that. But the national championship that Ohio State just won, I don't know if it happens without the roster they were able to hang on to. Like all the guys that came back, like Leighton Ransom, Jack Sawyer and company, that were really big during the national championship run and the season. You wouldn't have been able to afford them, I think, with the 20.5 salary cap.
But to that point, I feel like it levels out the playing field for everyone. You know, not just Ohio State.
It does.
Not just UF. Everybody has that same cap, so everybody's kind of leveled.
And good players are always going to want to go to the Floridas of the world and the Ohio States of the world. I understand that. There's still the advantage there. The allure of going to a prestigious school like that. But it's definitely going to mix things up a bit. And I do think it's for the good. Like I said, selfishly, my team is going to have the advantage, and I'm sure our Hurricane fans feel that way, Florida Gator fans feel that way. Like I said, I don't think Florida State's throwing that kind of money around like the Gators and the Hurricanes and the Buckeyes are, but nonetheless, it's good, and it's going to be good for the sport.
I mean, if the NFL has a cap, why does the NCAA feel like they shouldn't, you know, kind of thing?
Right. And they're based, listen, this is basically professional sports, folks. Like it's
a been Division II at this point.
It's been that way since the 80s. My old man would argue it's been that way since the 80s. I want to dream a little bit, Dave. Do you want to dream with me a little bit?
Do it. Love dreaming.
I'm looking at week one of the college football slate. You got some great games, dude. Alabama and Florida State at 3:30. Did you watch that right now? If that came on?
Absolutely. Alabama would destroy them, but I would watch it.
What do you think that line is with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet, by the way?
Mine is 21.
It's 12.5.
Wow.
21's crazy, Dame.
They have some faith in FSU.
21 is crazy.
Bama will cover that.
Texas plays Ohio State at noon. Buckeyes favored by 3. So the slate right now with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Texas and Ohio State. Ohio State favored by 3. That's the good noon game. I already mentioned the good 3:30 game, Alabama and Florida State. So no chance Florida State and Thomas Castellanos can show up in that game.
Did you watch them last year?
Well, this is a different year. Norvell might have that team, you know, firing on all cylinders.
That's a good point. Norvell's a great
coach. I got to see it. And to be fair, is he though? Is he? Let's pump the brakes there. I'm going to give him a chance. I like to sit here and tell me Mike Norvell is a great coach after winning one game last year with a roster.
Well, you made the point that $15 million, because they have Norvell, they have a chance.
Well, no. Hang on. I just said let's give Norvell a chance. You called him a great coach. Listen, brother, let's pump the brakes on the great part. But at the same time, that's the good 3:30 game. I got to see it to believe it. I got to see it to believe it. That's all I'm saying. Florida takes on Long Island University at 7 p.m. Are you... they don't even have a line. Our good friends at Hard Rock Bet doesn't even have a line for that game because it's probably going to be north of 30.
Yeah, that's where I was going. That's going to be a blowout. But that's going to be a blowout.
The best nightcap is LSU and Clemson. What a game.
Yeah, it's a great game. Is that in Death Valley?
They're both called Death Valley. So LSU calls themselves the real Death Valley?
That was a trick question, by the way.
It was. It's in Clemson. Clemson's favored by 3. Michigan, what a thriller they're starting off with New Mexico. All eyes are going to be on them too with their new quarterback. But I don't know. I thought with the recent news of the, the court case, I always get it wrong. The House versus the NCAA court case, which got settled, a $2.8 billion package, which is going to be distributed to athletes who competed in college sports from 2016 to the present day. And then a salary cap will be put in place at $20.5 million per school in 2025 and 2026. With all that going on, I got some college football fever.
Is that just football?
No, it's all college sports. Dame, $2.8 billion, all of college sports.
I played in 2015. Oh. So I just missed the cut.
Where'd you play?
St. Leo University.
The Lions?
Yeah.
Yep. Leo the Lion, baby.
Yep, Lions.
Leo the Lion. I put some context clues together there. All right, Dame, quickly, Sunday. All right, August 31st. This is still part of week one. Virginia Tech at South Carolina. Lenora Sellers and the Gamecocks at home versus Virginia Tech. Should be a fun game.
That's an interesting game then, because you don't know where their trajectories are going next year, both teams.
And then my I think this is outside of Ohio State and Texas. We should be a 7 o'clock game, an absolute joke. It's at noon. I'm so tired of the big noon on Fox. Notre Dame in Miami, 7:30 wow. ABC, August 31st, Sunday.
That's an electric week one.
No NFL to compete with, so Sunday makes sense. The big ones that we already went through, Buckeyes in Texas, Florida State and Alabama, LSU and Clemson, Virginia Tech and South Carolina, Notre Dame and Miami. Those should be some fun matchups. It'll be a lot of fun matchups. Folks, we got to take a timeout. When we return, we'll continue to preview game two of the NBA Finals coming up on Sunday. If you are a Panther fan and want to check in, 888-760-3776. The next game in Sunrise, Florida, the series is switching over to Sunrise, and it's going to be Oilers and Panthers on Monday, game three. And Damian and I are going to build a parlay with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet next Saturday tailgate. Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez on ESPN 106.3.
Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Saturday Tailgate, Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez live in the ESPN 106.3 studios, downtown West Palm Beach in the City Place. We are live on that ESPN app. Listen live tab, go all the way down to ESPN West Palm. Dame, I got a juicy parlay for you.
Let's
now, our boys, United States men's national team, no matter how many times they break my heart, I'm right back in the saddle with my favorite soccer team. Maybe Manchester United will probably take the cap for that. But my favorite international soccer team, because Italy, my Italians are currently in the doghouse with me right now. We're playing at 3:30. We're playing Turkey. Now, did you see the Gold Cup roster?
Yes.
Oh, God. Damn. Listen, I will say this. Pochettino, Maurizio Pochettino, I think he's picking guys who want to play for the badge.
He's looking for that hunger, and right. There's something to be said.
Now, no Tim Weah, no McKinney, no Pulley Goat. Christian Pulisic, by the way, I call him Pulley Goat. Greatest nickname ever. But, Dame, there's a lot of players that aren't going to be playing. But a lot of hungry guys on that team as well. Turkey is coming to the States. Actually, obviously, they're already here. It's going to be a True TV today, 3:30. It's an international friendly United States men's national team versus Turkey on the pitch. Ball rolling at 3:30. We're going to go with the boys at plus 165. USA to win. Plus 165. We're going over to the baseball diamond next. The Red Sox are minus 110. They have Crochet on the bump at Yankee Stadium. It was a fun game last night. A lot of runs. We took the over, by the way. Colin Russo and I, Russo and Rizzo, we took the over in that game last night. Thing hit in like the second inning. We're going to go. Red Sox losing 9-6 yesterday. We're going to go with the Sox, though, to win minus 110 with Garrett Crochet. Crochet with a 1.98 ERA in about 11 starts this year. We're going to go with Crochet. And then, you ready, Dame? The juiciest pick of them all that's making a $20 bet when it's $505?
What's that?
Pacers plus 400.
Oh, my. Wow.
Pacers are plus
the 400. Money line? I mean,
the money line.
You can take the money spread, line, though.
Nope.
Wow.
Plus 400. Dame.
Wow. So, OKC's Dame, going down 2-0 at home.
We know the script. We know what's going to happen. It's happened three times. It's happened three times.
You're not lying.
And this game one, they've done this three times as well. They didn't do it to Milwaukee in the first series.
And the Pacers are known to win game two.
They did
it like their thing.
They did it in Cleveland. They did it in New York. They did it in Oklahoma City in game one. They're going to come back to Indiana up 2-0 like they did in every single playoff series. Now, Milwaukee, they had home court. Indiana was the four. They had home court. But they were still up 2-0 going to Milwaukee, okay? They lose game three. The game to bet Oklahoma City is game three. Right now, plus 400. They haven't lost a game two all series postseason long. And they're plus 400. Am I missing the boat? What am I missing?
It's like, you know when you hit that bet that you don't expect to hit? That's kind of where Indiana's at right now. They're playing with house money. Their balance is loaded up. And, you know, they could take some risks here and there. And that's what we're going to see tomorrow.
I mean, it's Halliburton. Big shot after big shot. Rick Carlisle, Hall of Fame coach. We've seen it all playoffs. Am I just completely missing the mark on how good Oklahoma City is? -10.5. -10.5.
+10.5.
Well, I'm saying Oklahoma City. -10.5.
That line's disrespectful.
You gotta have your head examined if you're gonna take that.
That line is very disrespectful. If I'm on the Pacers and I'm looking at that, it's like, what more do I have to show? But at the end of the day, let's keep it that way.
Who is seriously taking that? That's my 2 cents. But folks, U.S. men's national team, Red Sox and Pacers, all the win. That's $20 to win $500.
How about the Dodgers coming off a loss with Yamamoto?
You want to throw the Dodgers in on the pot?
I mean, you're the baseball guru here. So
I am.
I'm just presenting it to you. The Dodgers lost yesterday.
I'm down on them.
They got Yamamoto on the mound.
I thought that they would break records this year. Let's put it this way.
Well, Mookie Betts is out too, right?
Cardinals are a solid team too. The Cardinals are plus 155 according to Hard Rock Bet.
No, Mookie Betts is active.
But
he'll be out there.
Honestly,
with that plus 400, there's no reason to add another.
We don't need to.
Yeah, we don't need to. No, absolutely right? Not. Let's just keep it. Let's just play it, I guess, the safe way with that plus 400. But
listen. Folks, if you're going to take Oklahoma City minus 10.5, you got to give me a reason why. You got to give me a reason why.
Well, they won 68 games, Riz.
Cavs won 64. Didn't matter.
Folks, more injuries there.
Folks, you hear that music? That means it's time for us to go. Thank you to all who listened to Saturday Tailgate this morning. Go Panthers coming up on Monday. You got the NBA Finals coming up on Sunday. Game two, I'm taking Indiana. A lot of baseball over the weekend. Our United States men's national team in action today as well, and a big international friendly. Everyone, enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the great weather. What a wonderful time it is to live in West Palm Beach. Sometimes friends have to go away, but a part of them stays with you forever. Remember that in this life. We'll see you next week. Bye.